Concerning mobility, there are three groups of people here in this room tonight. Concerning mobility, there are three groups of Christians in the world. First group are the sitters. The sitters. I talked about them in a sermon recently, just sitting by. These are the people who do nothing for God. The buses roll, and they sit by. The Sunday school grows, and they sit by. The aisles are filled with sinners, and they sit by. The baptistry, baptism waters are troubled every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, but they sit by. The sitters. To these people, they never perspire. Somebody has said one drop of their perspiration is as rare as a pearl of the first water. They just sit by. With crippled Mephibosheth as their hero, they park their spiritual wheelchairs and go deep into the things of God, but they're sitters. These timid souls creep toward heaven with the same speed that the snail crept into the ark for Noah. Oh, they're saved. They may even tithe. They may come to church on Sunday night. They might even find their way back to the service on Wednesday night. But as far as production is concerned, they just sit. In fact, they even often associate spirituality with slowness. While they pray for Ahimeaz to slow down and Cushai to pull over and park, they seem to think that the more deliberate you are, the more spiritual you are. The slower you can go to heaven, the more spiritual you are. They never associate speed with spirituality. They associate speed with carnality and sitting still with spirituality. Their cliches are well known. There are such cliches as let the Lord do His work. Don't pluck the fruit while it's green. Don't get in the flesh. We believe in stable growth. We don't believe in mushroom growth. And so these modern crippled Mephibosheths limp along their way toward heaven, never getting excited, never passing out a tract, never winning a soul, never fitting a bus route, never building a Sunday school class. They just are the sitters. They continue gathering information about follow-up work in case they ever have a convert to follow up. Their greatest energy is expended trying to trip up the runners or criticize their form or detract their attention from the race. They are bloated with spiritual carbohydrates, and their flabby muscles jump like yogurt when they see a runner stumble as they leap for joy. Oh, they go to the race all right, but they don't run. They don't even enjoy it. They don't go to the race to enjoy it or to run. They go to the race to walk around or waddle around so they can be present to cheer any defeat suffered by their most unfavorite runner. Now, you say what you want to say, brother, but God's work is not a sitting work, it's a running work. I believe in waiting upon God, but I believe there's a reason in waiting upon God. No need to wait upon God unless you run. No more need than having an engine without cars, boxcars, to follow it. The very purpose of waiting upon God is to gain strength, energy, with which to serve God and run the race for God. Bible says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, not walk. Run, not crawl. Run, not sit. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this is the crowd that we normally associate as waiters upon the Lord. I don't believe it. Fellow who's not running for God didn't wait upon God. Fellow who won't run won't wait. Same kind of thing that makes you disobey God when He says run makes you disobey God when He says wait. If you're disobedient enough not to obey God, to get busy for God and win souls and win a lost nation to God and save our nation and build a bus route and build a Sunday school class, if you'll disobey God when He says run, you'll disobey God when He says wait. But you say, I know some folks that wait upon God and don't run. No, they just wait. They don't wait upon God. They don't hang on to God. They're not Jacob's at Jabbok. They're not the woman begging God for, or the man begging God for, three loaves for a friend of his in his journey had come to him and he had nothing to set before him. These aren't the kind of people that say, that wait upon God and faint not, like the woman and the unjust judge who came and said, there's a man who's done me wrong, please vindicate me from mine adversary. They're synthetic waiters and hypocritical waiters and false waiters. There is no waiting upon God unless that waiting is followed by running. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Why? So they can run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. But you say, Brother Hiles, God has given me a special ministry of waiting. I don't believe it for a minute. Not for a minute. Not for a minute. But you say the Lord has not called me to go. He's called me to wait. No, He's called you to wait before you go, but go after you wait, and go because you wait, and wait because you're going to go. It's God's command that we go. Now there's a second crowd which I'd call your attention tonight. Not only the sitters, those who fill up just a little bit of pew every service, but there's a second crowd which I call your attention, and that crowd is the crowd called the walkers. This is the general and usual pace of the great host of God's people, walking. Some run, thank God. Some sit. Pity them. But the great host of people in this room tonight are not runners or sitters. You're walkers. You're marching to Zion, but you're not running to Zion. You're on your way to heaven, and you walk and don't faint. Walk and don't faint, but you don't run and not be weary. Now, I have no quarrel with you tonight. I have no great argument to pick with you, a fight to challenge you to. I'm not going to talk to you tonight a great deal. I thank God for those who are walking and marching to Zion. However, there is occasionally in a crowd of walkers and sitters an unusual breed that rises up that I call tonight the runners. There are always a few who are not satisfied to sit or to walk, who have learned to outstrip the others and do something above the usual for God. I call them the runners. They're runners rather than walkers. You find them in all walks of life. You find them in the banks. They rise to become president of the bank. You find them in the companies. They rise to become president of the corporation. You find them in schools. They become PhDs and president of the university. You find them in sales groups. They become the nationwide leader of sales of a particular product. You find them in every kind of a group. You find them in schools. They become the valedictorians and salutatorians. You find them in bus ministries. They build the biggest bus route. You find them in Sunday school classes. They build the biggest Sunday school class. These are those who are not sinners, but bless God, they're not even walkers. These are the ones who are the runners. They're as light of foot as young roes. They're swifter than eagles. They're as nimble as Gabriel. They're strong as lions. And with their zeal hath eaten them up. They are Asahel's chasing Abner. They are Himeas outstripping Cushai. They're John's outrunning Peter. They work with both hands and make heaven's anvil ring with the music of their hearty blows upon heaven's anvil. This is the kind of crowd that gets, listen, that's the kind of crowd that builds a big Sunday school class. That's the kind of church that rises above the normal horizon of churches. That's the kind of person who lifts himself as he waits on God and rises above. He's going to excel. He'll not be normal. He can't be satisfied with being normal. You find him in schools. You find him in churches. Look at him. Look at him in the Bible. See an old dad in Luke chapter 15 having prayed his son back home. His son who had taken his portion of his father's inheritance and gone away into the far country. Having spent all, he did join himself to a hog pen and there did fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And he suddenly became to himself and said, servants back home have better fare than I have here in the hog pen. While the servants back home eat good food, they don't eat the husk from the hogs would eat from the corn. I'll arise and go to my father. You see that young lad as he points his journey toward home, as he gets pretty close to the house, and the father is sitting on the porch. He's looking as he's always looked down the road to see his son is going to come home. He sees a silhouette that reminds him a great deal of his son's silhouette. He rises, the Bible says. He runs. He doesn't walk. He runs. He doesn't crawl. He runs. He doesn't wait. Why? He's glad to see his son. That's one reason why, brother, when you come down the aisle at First Baptist Church to receive Christ, I want to meet you halfway up the aisle. I hate to see somebody come down to get saved. One of you fellows on the platform, look around like you're dazed and then hitting the head by brickbat. Go get them! Go get them! Go meet them! And tell them how glad we are they've come to Jesus Christ. The old man ran to meet his son who was coming home. See Rebecca, as she's sitting there beside the well, maybe, or the brook, and see Eliezer as he comes up and speaks to her, asks for a drink of water. And see Rebecca as she says, sure, can I give your camels drink also? The Bible says she runs to get the water. Why? She's excited about her work. You give me that Sunday school teacher who runs, now I'll build a great class. You give me that bus worker who runs, he'll build a great bus route. You give me that preacher who runs, he'll build a great church, if he's waited first and then run second. See young Samuel at midnight running to Eli. God has spoken to Samuel. Samuel thinks it's the voice of Eli. Samuel is so ready to obey the voice of his master. He runs. He doesn't walk. He runs to Eli. See David running to the giant. He's taken the sling and he's felled the giant with a stone from the sling. But David's afraid there might be some life left in that big buzzard. He takes off and runs. Why? So he can fell the giant and claim the victory and sever his head and put it in his den when he gets home along beside the other bears and trophies that he has. See him as he runs. Or look at Elisha running after Elijah. Elijah said, "May you go on back." Elisha said, "No, I'm going to get your mantle. I'm going to have a little portion of your spirit." Elijah says, "Go on back." But Elisha runs. You know what the great need in America is? For a bunch of fundamentalists who are waiting on God 20 years to run for a while. We sit on our blessed assurance and sing our sevenfold amens and have our glory of potteries and have our formal services while our world is going to hell. And if anybody ever does decide to run, everybody says he's an Ahimaaz running without the message. Let's get the message. Let's wait for it. But once we get it in God's dear name, let's run with it. The world is lost needing God. Don't you tell me a Christian ought not to run around this great Chicago area. Tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people dying without God. Somebody has got to get excited enough to go get them and run the race and get the people for God. Look at Philip coming down, meets the chariot on the road to Gaza. And up in that chariot is the treasure of Queen Candace. And he's reading a Bible, reading Isaiah. 53rd chapter. Philip says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And what mobility does Philip have as he joins himself to the chariot? He runs to the chariot. Why? He's going soul winning, that's why. He runs! Doesn't walk, he runs! I ask you a question. In which crowd do you dwell tonight? Are you the loafing son of Mephibosheth who crippled your way and sit and loaf toward heaven? Are you the walker? Steady, but walking Cushite? Or are you one of those who said, "By the grace of God, I'm going to give it all I have. I'm going to run, not walk, run, not sit." What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God, deacon? Listen, a man who's chosen to be a deacon in this church was chosen with the assumption he was a soul winner. If you are a deacon on this board and are not a soul winner, you are an imposter all across this world. It's understood. Of the 105 men on our deacon board, it is understood that you are a soul winner before you ever join the deacon board of our church. You say, "I'll resign the board." Why don't you get right with God and go soul winning? Run! Oh, give us 105 running deacons. Give us 600 running Sunday school teachers. Give us a great host of running superintendents. Give us a great host of running teenagers. Give us a great host of running college students. Those who run, not walk, the race for God. See Peter and John as they run to the sepulcher. See young Rhoda as she comes to the door while they're praying for Peter's release from prison. To her complete amazement, she finds Peter at the door. See her running back to tell the good news, but Peter standeth at the door. See little old Zacchaeus, the tax collector, could not see Jesus because of his short stature. See him as he runs and climbs the sycamore tree to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And by the way tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, if you don't know that your name is written in heaven, if you don't know that if you died tonight you'd go to heaven, if you don't K-N-O-W know that you're born again and that Jesus came tonight, you'd rise to meet him in the sky, may I say to you, you ought to run to Jesus tonight. Have the sense and wisdom of Zacchaeus, who ran to climb up the sycamore tree and to see the Savior. See Esau. Jacob has been gone for 20 years down to Padan Aram. Jacob the trickster who had stolen from Esau. Jacob the trickster who had robbed Esau of his birthright. Jacob the crook who had robbed Esau of the blessing and deceived his own dying father on his deathbed. Jacob comes back. He spends all night at Jabbok wrestling with God and saying, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Jacob the trickster becomes Israel the prince and is a new man. He has a limp, but he's a new man. He has a limp, but his sins are forgiven. He has a limp, but he's a prince with God. He has a limp, but he has power with God. See him as he looks across and sees Esau. There's the brother. What will he do? That big, burly man of man's, that big, barrel-chested, hairy man, that big, strong man, mighty man, what will he do? He comes and Jacob throws himself in his arms and seeks forgiveness, and Esau gives that forgiveness and does not retaliate with vindication, but throws his arms around Jacob. But the Bible says Esau ran to Jacob. Are you listening? If tonight you are going to be a soul winner, run in soul winning. If tonight God has given you a Sunday school class, run in that Sunday school class. If tonight God has made you a deacon, run as a deacon. If God has called you to preach, run in the ministry. Wait and run. Wait and run. Don't run till you've waited, but don't fail to run after you've waited. Run. They shall run. Now, several things about running. The first place, running will keep you warm. It'll keep you warm. People that are cold of heart need to run. You can put all the logs you have on the hearth at Christmas time. You can light the fire, pour kerosene or gasoline on the logs, and light the brightest, hottest fire you've had in your fireplace. But it cannot warm as much as a good old exerting run. People that are cold of heart don't run. Now, though we do not run to get warm, running will keep us warm. I'm concerned about a certain fundamental attitude across this land of ours. I want you to listen carefully to this. I'm concerned about it. People come to me often. I've had five or six this week. Brother Hiles, I think I ought to change what I'm doing. Young people, I think I ought to change what I'm doing. And I say, why? And they say, I'm just not happy at what I'm doing. Well, pray tell me who said you had to be happy to serve God. Well, I just don't have peace in doing what I'm doing. Well, brother, you're so far ahead of anybody else. You just keep on running. You'll get warm after a while. But how can I feel spiritual? I've gotten cold. Run! That's the way you get warm. Run! Say, well, how? I don't feel spiritual. Get you a bus route and visit about 15 hours a week. You'll get warm. I get weird people saying, I just don't want to do it. It's just not what I want to do. I was driving down the highway in Texas several years ago. I saw a tragedy I'd never seen the like. Bill Harvey and I were together. There was a pickup truck in front of us. That truck hit something in the highway and turned around and turned over in the middle of the highway. And then after it turned over, it ran out in a field as fast as it could, ran down in the ditch, out in the field, and turned over and then shot straight up about 25 feet in the air. When it was about 25 feet in the air, that truck started coming down and a little boy about 10 years old fell out. And the truck landed on the little boy's body. Now, the question is this. Somebody said, what did you do, Brother Hiles? Well, I stopped the car. I didn't want to. I didn't have peace while I was helping that boy. I was not enjoying myself. I'd a lot rather been to a football game. I'd a lot rather gone to a basketball tournament. But I have no right to enjoy myself. There's somebody who needs me. Now you listen to me. America is going to hell. Our country is about to perish without God. Forget your own luxury. Forget your own comfort. Forget your own personal happiness. You will never get it till you just dig in and do your best to save this country. Why, I know people by the dozens that leave opportunities to bless a whole world to go to one little corner of God's vineyard to do little or nothing for God. It keeps us warm. I don't have a problem keeping warm. I'm too busy running. I got a letter yesterday, read it this morning. I won't read who it's from, but I'll read you the letter, part of it. Listen to it. This will keep you warm. Dear preacher, you don't know me very well, if at all. I've been a bus kid here for 7 years. I fell in love with you the very first Sunday I came to First Baptist. I might add she was about 10 or 11 or 12. You reminded me so much of my dad. She didn't say, but I'm sure Dad was a very handsome man, had a lot of hair and great personality. Preacher, you've taught me so much that I can't put into words. You've always been there when I needed you. You have always said the right words in your sermons to comfort me when I needed to be comforted and to move my soul to live for Christ. I owe so much to you. And the only way I can pay you back is to live for Christ the way you've always taught me to. I love Jesus with all my heart. If it hadn't been for you and I may have never found my way. Preacher, here's the sweet part. Preacher, keep up. Keep caring about little funny-looking bus kids. We need you. I love you, preacher, so very much. Love in Christ. That came a little bus kid. Little bus kid. I've been running here all these years. I'd rather keep it warm. I'd get warm every time a note stuck under my door like that. You know why? I've been running. That's why. You folks, I want peace of mind. Get busy. Get to running. Run. Loafer, run. Shirker, run. Meadows, run. Mephibosheth, run. Loafer, run. At ease in Zion, run. No joy, run. Lost your peace, run. Cold of heart, run. That's the way you keep your heart warm for God. Last night at this altar, I married that little bus kid. He's a fine young man. Running keeps us warm. Running does something else. Running keeps us happy. Keeps us happy. When you run, you don't hit near as many low spots as you do when you walk. Fellas running across the pasture, he can jump over the ravines, jump over the ditches. I mean, you don't get very low and down the dumps when you run. When you run, you don't have to go down and up, you can jump across. Now, if you walk, you got to walk down and back up. But if you run, you stay happy. If you run, you don't criticize. I know something about that. Did you ever get up in the morning in wintertime on a linoleum floor? Huh? Nothing like it. What did you do? Walk deliberately? Slowly? Carefully? Cautiously? Across the rug? Good night? No.
Why?
It's cold! Run! You stay warm if you run! You get cold if you don't run. Miserable if you don't run. Did you ever run on hot concrete? Some of you folks from Texas know what I'm talking about. I used to go barefoot when I was a boy. Say, why? No choice. No choice. Used to go barefoot. You get on hot concrete, asphalt, when it's 109 degrees officially in a Texas heat wave, you run. You hit some of that Texas gravel while it's hot, you run. You get on a street where they just poured some asphalt, you run. Did you ever see anybody running a race, gossiping? Did you ever see two fellows in the Olympic Games running 100-yard dash? Straining to get to the tape first. One looks over the other and says, "Hey, the guy that's in fourth place, did you hear what he did last night?" "No, you're too busy running." Running folks don't criticize. Running folks don't gossip. Running folks don't complain. Running folks don't tear down. Running folks don't slander. Running folks don't backbite. Running folks stay busy for God. They're happy people. They're running people. They're joyous people. They're optimistic people. Why? Because they're running, that's why. Running keeps us happy. I mean this now. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I mean this when I say it. I'm a happy person. You hang around me a great deal, you'll know that I'm not unhappy much. But I have burdens like you do. I have problems like you have. I carry my problems to no one but Jesus. I carry my burdens to no one but Jesus. I have no pastor with whom I can talk, and I've chosen not to talk to any man of God except for counsel and advice. Now I wonder why I don't sit in my office and lament my problems. You know why? I'm too busy running with yours, that's why. From morning till night, I'm running! I don't have time to get sad. I'm running! I don't have time to criticize. I'm running! I don't have time to gossip. I'm running! I don't have time to tear down. I'll tell you what, you folks out soul winning on the buses all yesterday, you didn't get on the telephone spreading the juicy gossip. You long-tongued Jezebels and pagan heathen gossips and slanderers, you're not running. You're not running. By good night, you wouldn't have time to pick up the phone very long if you're running. Have you ever felt running a race, stopping and making a call? Hey, you know the crowd I enjoy? Did you ever see those walkers, the fellows that walk? You know.
You ever see them on television?
It's not a running race, it's the walk. You can't run, and there's some rules that means you're running, but those old boys, their race last year in the whole track meet. They start off the first. They go outside of the Coliseum.
And here they go. Where they go, only God knows.
I have no idea where they go. Then you have the 100-yard dash. You have the shot put. You have the discus. You have the javelin. Have the high jump. Have the pole vault. Have the quarter mile. Have the half mile. Have the 2 mile. Have the mile run. Have all the athletic events. About 2 hours later, look down at the other end.
Here they come.
I mean, boy, they've been going as fast as they could, as the law would allow them. They didn't stop. They didn't get the attention. They're way out yonder in the woods somewhere, out in town walking. Nobody to cheer them. Nobody to cheer them. They're cheering the folks who are running the 100-yard dash, but nobody to cheer those fellas. They don't need to be cheered, brother. Just to stay in the race and win the race is all they need. Just to give their best is reward in itself. Just to give all is all the reward they want. Nobody cheers them. In fact, when they come back in, most everybody's gone. Here they come. You can see them. They don't get any applause. In fact, you laugh when they come back in. It's funny to see them.
Whoa, like that.
That's the kind of people get the job done for God. Kind of people that do it in the darkness, but they walk as fast as they can. Kind of people that get no applause, but they stay busy for God all the time. Kind of people on whom the light, spotlight never shines, but they stay busy all the time. The kind that never hear the applause of the appreciative crowd while the glamour races are being run. They're out in the woods somewhere, but they're going as fast as they can. While the high jumper is soaring high and the people are clapping his feats and achievements, they're out in the woods somewhere, but they're going as fast as they can. While the spotlight shines on the mile run, that glamour run of all track meets and Olympic Games, and while folks are cheering the mile runner, the old walker is going as fast as he can out in the woods somewhere. Nobody cheers, nobody applauds, but he wants to win the victory. Oh, listen to me. There'll be a day coming when the applause will take care of itself. There's a day coming when those who've been faithful and who've run and not been weary shall come to the finish line And you'll be glad in that day you got busy for God. I see another thing, and that is running keeps us from being tempted. Keeps us from being tempted. Did you ever see a fellow running a 100-yard dash, stop and wink at the blonde in the second row of the stands? No, he's too busy. He's not tempted. Have you ever felt running a 100-yard dash, stopping at the bar and getting a drink on the way to the finish line? No, he's too busy. He's too busy to drink. Ever hear a fellow running a 100-yard dash, stopping for a 10-minute break, taking a smoke, and then taking on his journey? No, he doesn't do that. Why? He's running! That's why. God give us a church that runs. God give us deacons that run. God give us teachers that run. God give us schools that run. God give us a staff that runs. You see these runners in schools rising like pyramids above the dusty Sahara. You see these runners in a church, unsatisfied until they have climbed every spiritual Everest in the range. You see these runners on a staff, refusing to look at the clouds from underneath. You see these runners in a Sunday school, growing like the children of Anak, towering over the sons of men. Runners! Runners! That's the kind I want to be. I don't want to be a usual preacher. I want to be a running preacher. I don't want to have a usual church. I want to have a running church. I don't want to have a normal Sunday school. I want to have a running Sunday school. I'm not satisfied with sitters, and I'm not satisfied with walkers. I want runners. And I'll keep preaching like this unto the last person in the farthest corner of these balconies. And the one who is most glued to his seat, and the one who, if he got up, he'd take the whole pew with him. He's been there so long. I'll not be satisfied till every single person who calls this his church home is running for God. Running for God. I sat one day in chapel at East Texas Baptist College. And I mean this, the least likely preacher boy in that school. I couldn't make a decent speech. A Presbyterian preacher stood to speak. His theology would not agree with mine. I did not care for his delivery a great deal. I didn't like his looks. I didn't enjoy his message. But he made one statement. Young men, be a miracle! And that arrested my attention. I wrestled with that thing for the entire chapel hour. Be a miracle! Be a miracle! Be a miracle! I knew I could not be a great preacher, but I could be a miracle. I knew I could not be a great orator, but I could be a miracle. I knew I could not be a brilliant mind, but I could be a miracle. By the way, did you know folks who don't have brilliant minds are more potential miracles than folks that do have brilliant minds? Folks who are little of stature are miracle material more than folks who are big of stature. Folks who are not so learned and brilliant are more better material for miracles than those who are brilliant. Folks who are ugly are more potential for miracles than those who are pretty, and most all of you are potential miracles tonight. I kept saying, be a miracle, be a miracle. In my mind it said, be a miracle, be a miracle. I went home that night and I got on my face and I said, dear God, I will be a miracle. If I were you tonight and I were a servant of God, I wouldn't be satisfied to be the normal. I'd be the abnormal. I wouldn't be satisfied to be just a walker. I'd be a runner. Say it, youth. I will not be normal. I'll be abnormal for God. Say it, Christians, I will not be normal, I'll be abnormal for God. Say it, preachers, I will not be normal, I'll be abnormal for God. Say it, Howells Anderson students, I will not be normal, I'll be abnormal for God. Say it, staff, I'll not be normal, I'll be abnormal for God. We've got enough normal people. We have enough walkers. All the positions on the walking team are full, but we do have a lot of positions on the 2-mile race that are vacant. Run. Run. All across this nation. I've preached for these years. I've preached over 3 sermons a day for over 18 years. Time and time again, I've preached in a service of preachers across this country. And I accept my invitations on one basis, and that is, how many preachers will be there? I'll be speaking Tuesday this week in Savannah, Georgia. I'm sure I'll be speaking to 1,500 or 2,000 preachers. But I said all across America, rise up, O men of God, and be something different and do something big for God. And I've seen it again and again and again. I've seen young men sit back. I did not even know they were there until till months and years had passed. But I've heard of young men who sat back and said, I'll be a miracle. I'll do something big for God. God will use me. I'll wait, then I'll run. I preached down in Atlanta, Georgia, several years ago. Oh, it's been now, I imagine, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I got burdened for Atlanta. I got out of my motel room, crawled out of bed about 1 o'clock in the morning, got me a taxi cab and drove down to Peachtree Street in Atlanta. There was not one single great, what I'd call a great soul-winning church in all of Atlanta, Georgia then. I walked up and down Peachtree Street from 2 to 3 to 4 o'clock to 5 till the sun came up. Cried like a baby praying for God to send somebody to Atlanta. I said, oh God, there ought to be a great soul-winning church in Atlanta. At that time, hardly any church of any soul-winning evangelistic fervor. I did not know it. But the day after I prayed that prayer, a postman who had a little church with about 20 people was delivering his mail. He opened his bag and got out something to deliver to the next house. It was the sword of the Lord. The people had moved. He opened up the sword of the Lord because the folks had moved away from that house. Nobody to claim it. He saw my picture. And that arrested him. That'll arrest most anybody. He saw my picture. He saw that we had baptized so many hundreds and hundreds, I think 1,000 people. He thought it was a misprint. He couldn't believe it. He saw that Dr. John Rice and I were preaching at the Antioch Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That postman, who had a little church with a handful of people, an auditorium, nothing bigger than this choir, said, I'm going to go hear those fellows. I stood up that morning in that service and I said, oh God, give somebody to Atlanta to do something big for God. And that postman got the mulberry leaves to rustling in his soul. And he sat back and he said under his breath, Jack Hiles, hurry up and get through. Hurry up and get through. If you don't hurry up and get through, I'm going to run out of here and barge out of here. Why? My soul is burning up! That's why. He said, Jack Hiles, you'll live to see the day when Curtis Hudson will build a great church in Atlanta, Georgia. That little handful of people now has become Georgia's largest church. 80 to 100 people saved every Sunday of the world. Why? Somebody said, I'll not be normal. Somebody said, I'm going to rise above the crowd. Somebody said, I'm going to have the biggest bus route. Somebody said, I'm going to work harder than anybody. Listen, I know my limitations. I know my weaknesses. And I know my frailties. But blessed be God, though I cannot preach with the oratorical genius of R.G. Lee, nor with the wit and wisdom of a John Rice, nor with the depth and scholarship of a Bob Jones, there's one thing I can do that R.G. Lee can do, and they can't do any better, and John Rice and Bob Jones and all the rest of them, and that's W-O-R-K work! And in the final analysis, brother, that's the difference between success and failure anyway. It's running. Running. The favorite scripture of these runners ought to be Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I wish God had given me 100 new runners tonight. I wish God had reached down to these teenage kids over here in our Hammond Baptist High School who care more about athletics than you about soul winning and help you to care something about athletics but more about soul winning.
I wish God would reach down and grab some of you teenage kids and burn in your heart tonight. You'd say, I've got to run. I can't walk anymore. I can't sit anymore. I can't stand anymore. I can't loiter anymore. I've got to run for God. I wish God would reach down and take our Hiles Anderson students and like Samson's tail foxes that had their tails tied together and set us aflame and spread across this country to run and build running churches for God. I wish God had reached down tonight and stir some of our deacons that hadn't been soul winning since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because you realize how wicked, how vile, how sinful it is for a man to hold the second highest office in a church and disobey God concerning this matter of spreading the gospel to the unsaved. Run. Run. They will run. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Are you running? What are you doing for God? Well, you say, I don't smoke, neither does our schnauzer dog. Well, I don't drink, neither does Fritz, the schnauzer. He probably would if he'd get his mouth on some. Well, you say, I sing, so does Fritz. I'm not saying as well as some of you, though there are men over in the choir that he could run a close race with. Run! And less than 50 miles from where I stand right now, there are over 9 million people. 9 million people. I want to tell you what I said last Wednesday night, and I believe it with all my soul. The day is going to come. If you don't believe it, you wait and see. The day is going to come and God's going to give us enough runners here at this church. God's going to give us enough people running. There won't be a big league baseball team that'll average as many at their games as we'll average in our Sunday school. Quite frank with you, I know Alvin Dark personally, and you know I know him. If you just give me a little encouragement, I'm going to challenge Alvin Dark to a Sunday contest one of these days. I'm going to have him have a big day for the Oakland Athletics, the World Championship Baseball team. If they have 45,000, we'll have 46,000. That's not going to be next Sunday. There is no limit to what a church like this could do if the people will run. 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 They shall run. That means if you're not running tonight, you're guilty of two wicked sins. One, not waiting upon the Lord. Two, not running. Oh, you say, hold it, preacher. I wait upon the Lord. I just don't run. My Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall run. Shall run. And for you not to run is a sin like drunkenness. It's a sin like adultery. It's a sin like incest. It's a sin like cursing. It's a sin like robbing. Why? God wants us to wait on Him. He wants us to come and say, oh, God in heaven, I need You every hour, most gracious Lord. Oh, God, endue me with the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, give me the power of God. And after you waited upon God and God has filled you with His blessed Holy Spirit or given you power, God wants you to take off and run like a scared Texas jackrabbit with a car behind it. Take off. Go. Run. 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 They shall run. How are you tonight? I'd make as my motto, and I don't mean this facetiously, I'd make as my motto, I will not be normal. I will not be average. I will not be usual. I will not be like everybody else. I'll rise above it. And I'll be something special for my God. They shall run.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that tens of thousands of people will be saved because we're going to get some more runners. Forgive that man that just resigned his bus route. Forgive that lady who just turned her resignation in. Help her to run. Help him to run. Oh, how can we do less than what we've done with 9 million people on their way to hell so near us? I pray tonight you'd reach down to our staff and our deacons and our Sunday school teachers and our faithful lay people here and our high school students and our college family. And I pray tonight a new holy zeal shall eat us up to run, to run, to run, to run after we've waited. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. You can run and not wait, but you can't wait and not run. You can run and not wait, but you can't wait and not run. You, like Ahimeaz of old, can run without the message, but you cannot wait as God calls waiting without running. Running is just as much a result of waiting as a noise is because you pulled the trigger of a loaded gun. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, tonight I stand condemned before God. I'm saved, but I've been a sitter or a walker. Brother Hiles, I've not been a runner. I've been satisfied with the usual, not the unusual. I've been satisfied to be normal, not abnormal. I've been satisfied to be in the crowd and not rise above the crowd. Brother Hiles, I'm guilty of not running. I want God to forgive me and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building. All over the building. All over the building. If that many people start running tonight, only God knows what can be done. You can lower your hands. God bless you. Run. Run. I'm not pleading for a big crowd. I'm pleading for 9 million people. I'm not pleading for an article in Christian Life magazine. I'm pleading for 9 million people. I'm not representing a case of trying to have the largest Sunday school anywhere. I'm representing 9 million people, most of whom don't know the plan of salvation from Mary Had a Little Lamb. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to run? Are you going to run? I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, why don't you just say, Oh my God, forgive me for sitting. I'm going to run. I'm going to run for God. I'm going to rise above the usual to the unusual, above the normal to the abnormal. I'm going to rise from beneath the clouds to above the clouds. If God speaks to your heart and you ought to make a decision tonight at this altar, you know what to do. But wait a minute. Are you here tonight without Jesus? Run to Him. Run to Him. Spurgeon has said, if you can run, run to Jesus. If you can't run, walk to Jesus. If you can't walk, crawl to Jesus. If you can't crawl, look to Jesus. There's life for a look at the Savior. I wonder who would say tonight in this great crowd of several thousands of people, who would say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died tonight I'd go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. I want to be saved. Pray for me. On the lower floor first. You'd say, pray for me, I'd like to be saved. I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Lift your hand on the lower floor and I'll pray for you. Lift it way up high. If you don't know that you're saved, God bless you. Who else? You don't know that you're saved, on the lower floor, God bless you, sir. Who else on the main floor? You don't know that you're saved, God bless you, girls. God bless you, young ladies. God bless you, fellows. Who else would say, include me in the prayer? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Lift your hand, please, on the main floor. Who else? Who else? God bless you. I see that hand. Who else on the main floor? May I see your hand, please? In the balcony, who would say, include me in this prayer? I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please, anywhere in the balcony, and I'll see you and pray for you. Way up high, Yes, I see you. And yes, I see you. God bless you, ma'am. God love you. Who else would say in the balcony, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you. I see you. Who else? Our Heavenly Father, I do pray. I pray that these who have said, pray for me, I do not know that I'm going to heaven, should settle this matter tonight. May they run to Jesus. May they run to Jesus. Our heads are bowed. We have folks here who know the Bible well. We have folks at this altar who can take the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. I want you, when we stand and sing, if you raised your hand or did not and should have, I want you to leave your seat when we sing. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and let us show you how you can go to heaven. If you're upstairs, we have 7 sets of stairs. All you have to do is choose the nearest one. Come down those stairs and down to the main floor and down the aisle, and let us show you how you can go to heaven. If you've been saved and never walked an aisle, you come. If you've never been baptized since you got saved, you come. If God wants you to make this church home your church home, then you come. If you're coming for church membership, for salvation or baptism, or public profession of faith, we'll meet you here at the front and show you and talk to you. If you're coming tonight for any other reason, to say, I'm going to start running for God, you just find a place to kneel anywhere at the altar. You need not take our hands. Heavenly Father, Thou hast met with us through these many years. Thou hast crowned our services for these years with such power and blessing and glory. Now once again, may the heavenly dove settle over this building, and may it be an invitation where it's easy to be saved and easy to make a decision to run for God. Speak to the hearts of all of those tonight who raised a hand, and those of us who did not but perhaps should have. Help us never to be satisfied with walking again. Help us to run, realizing runners don't criticize. Runners jump over the low spots. Runners are happy. Runners are exerting all their energy. Help us to run. Help us to wait. For once we wait, we shall.